Joining me in the studio now is Cecil High School principal, Carrie Tatum, the superintendent of schools, Andy Gris-Kowiak, and Guy Rosenbaum, who is the head of the school board. And thank you for joining me here today.
Oh, no problem, George.
Great to be with you.
Nice to see you.
So the reason I asked you guys to come in here and talk was a week or so ago, we had an incident on a bus that involved a student and other students on the bus, obviously. And it started an uproar with a certain group of people wanting to know what the heck is going on. And I was thinking about this and realizing that, you know, as a parent, or having been a parent myself, yeah, we sometimes want to know everything that's going on. But for the safety of students and the safety of people involved in that and the regulations that are out there, it's not necessarily something that we can know everything that's going on, especially if there's an investigation involved. So let's talk about some of the rules and regulations, some of the things that parents need to know when it comes to state and federal regulations when it involves school and students. Andy, from time to time, stuff like this comes up.
Correct.
It has to be dealt with. What are some of the biggest concerns that you hear from parents when they can't necessarily know all the details?
Well, again, it's the details they want that would satisfy kind of their inner monologue. People sometimes kind of work themselves into a little bit of a lather with what if, what if, what if. And what it boils down to for us is that if there was a direct threat to an individual or a group of students or a credible threat to, again, a building or institution or whatever, those people that are involved that were, you know, in essence, targets of the threat, they would be identified directly. Now, if a student makes a hyperbolic statement or a statement about potential self-harm, those details can't be given out as we're kind of running down all the details, especially in a smaller town, because any of those details make the students self-identifiable, make them identifiable. And so when we identify a student for a discipline concern or a mental health concern or some other academic piece, then we wind up violating, you know, the Federal Education Rights Privacy Act. And so we'll tell somebody positively if, you know, student A threatens student B. But if student A just makes a statement and says, I'm just going to get everybody, and we look into it and the police determine that they don't have the capacity or means to pull it off, it ends there, because, again, getting into the details about that makes that student identifiable.
Right. And people will go, I think that was so-and-so, or I think that was so-and-so.
Right.
You automatically jump to those conclusions.
And we get into this thing where people want us to confirm rumor and gossip, and we just can't do it.
Right.
They'll come to me and say, I heard this happen, and I'll just say, no, that you have the details wrong. Well, what are the details? I can't give you the details, but I'll tell you, if it was something that directly impacted you or the safety of your child, you would be told directly, period.
Now, Carrie, you can speak as the principal probably to this better than anybody, because dealing with the students on a regular basis. But the teenage brain is sort of one of those fly off the handle, making comments. We've all done it, I think, as kids, you know, and so there's not necessarily always credibility into something we say. We get mad, we get upset, we throw out something that is really kind of potentially harmless, although it causes like the hairs on the back of your head sometimes to stand up. So as an educator, how do you deal with stuff like that?
I think first and foremost, we try to, again, educate. You know, there are certain things that we just can't say in this day and age. And even if you're frustrated, even if everything is going wrong in that day, you still have to be careful and be held accountable to what you say. And so when students make a statement that, you know, could be seen as worrisome, we definitely want to educate them. And do you realize what you said and how that can be taken? And, you know, we try to have those kind of conversations with the students and just make sure that they know that what they're saying is serious and how it affects others.
Guy, let's talk a little bit about you know, kind of quelling the uproar that comes out of this when a parent wants to know something. I remember in the day, I mean, I went to private school my entire life. There was nothing for the nun to come up and grab you by the ear and yank you out of the room. And everybody at that point knew what was going on. And it's a little bit different nowadays with rules and regulations. What does the school board deal with when it comes to stuff like that?
So it's funny. I went to a public Texas school in West Texas, and we didn't have nuns, but the same thing happened there as well. It's a little different for the board. The board's really not treated a whole lot differently than parents, because at the end of the day, we may have to adjudicate whatever actions the school has taken, or if the child's parents want to bring the matter all the way through a complaint process to the board. So we try to keep the board, we try to keep them informed. Andy and the other professionals at the school do a great job of that. And as far as, you know, basically what happened, we're rarely ever more informed than the public on what's going on. And we don't really want to be, because again, this may come before the board to be adjudicated in possibly an expulsion case or something along those lines.
So it's sort of like one of those things where it's like you have to move the court case to a different county to get unbiased.
Yeah, and remember, as board members, we're just
just community
guys.
Members.
Yeah, we're just community guys. You know, that are trying to help out the school as much as we can. So a lot of us have kids in the school that could possibly be part of the complaint as well. And so you spend a lot of time as a board member thinking, okay, what do I know, and do I possibly need to recuse myself from this case? We have 7 board members. We need 4 to make a quorum. And you could see that, you know, if enough of us had to recuse ourselves, we wouldn't be able to adjudicate a case. And the representation for the community wouldn't be there at the school. So again, we try to be careful about that.
It's sort of like in news where we talk about you never want to be the headline in your own story.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you have to make sure that your ducks are in a row.
Absolutely. At the same time, we want to be responsive to the community. We want the community to know and understand. And this is where it gets really interesting. As a board member, this is my second term, and it took me every bit of my fourth term to become as limited in my education of how a school works as I am now. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose. These two are professionals in the education of our children, and there's a lot to that. I mean, there's lots of regulations, lots of laws. There's lots of areas that are, frankly, places where you could trip up really bad. So the school takes the thought process of safety first, right? We want all the kids to be safe, right? Then facts next. And sometimes communication's third. It's unfortunate, but if it was your student who made an unwise remark, I'm sure in a town of 8,000 people, you wouldn't want that getting out. And I hope that the folks in Florence can understand that we're just trying to do the best for all the students that we can do, the ones that make mistakes and the ones that may be suffering because of the mistakes as well.
And again, a child or a teenager might make a mistake that, if handled correctly, can make the outcome of their education and their life experience even better.
Absolutely.
Handled wrongly, and it could be the spiral that takes them out.
Devastating. Absolutely devastating. And again, in a smaller town, it's even more important, but it doesn't change whether you're in Portland, Seattle, or anywhere else. The laws that affect this are the same, and they're there for the same reason. They're there to protect all the students. Again, if there's a safety concern, you can bet the school's on top of it right now. After the safety concern has gone away, there's what actually happened? And again, you know, students are no different than any other group of human beings. Even though they're all honestly telling you their story, the story's different by almost every one of them. And it takes a while to figure things out. And oftentimes we have to wait for the police to help us figure things out.
Now, when it comes to specific regulations, and Carrie, maybe you can speak to this, what rights and what privacies are available for kids or regulated for kids to keep them safe? I mean, you know, there's certain state rules, federal rules that you guys have to support on a regular basis to keep kids safe. What are some of the things when it comes to what we can know, what we can't know?
I mean, I think the biggest one is FERPA, which is the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. That tells us that we're not allowed to disclose educational records, discipline records, attendance records, that kind of information. And so really, I can't get into specifics about a student. So when asked about a situation, I can talk in generalities, but I can't, you know, I can't discuss specifics. And a lot of times that's what some of the people in the community are wanting. Well, I want to know what happened to that kid, or this is happening to my kid. What happened to the other kid? I can't tell them. And so a lot of times that's when they get the most frustrated, because then they feel that their kid may be being treated unfairly, or a lot of times the kids are the ones telling what happened. And, you know, when something happens to me, a lot of times, or people in general, they like to downplay what happened. And so then they're listening to a kid that may not be completely honest about their consequences. Oh yeah, nothing happened to me. Well, that may not be accurate.
Right.
However, that's what's being reported. And then, you know, that kind of gets around and whatnot, and it causes frustration.
Well, you bring up an important point that students themselves may be in the midst of seeing what's going on. What kind of restrictions are they put under legally to talk about incidents like that?
Kids aren't really put under any sort of restriction.
So a kid sees something in school, he can go home and tell his parent.
Absolutely.
And then get the parent in a lather or
right.
not. Or,
but what we usually ask kids, especially if we have like a student safety concern, it's like we tell them, hey, gossiping about this isn't going to do him, you, or anybody else any good.
Right.
I mean, your parents want to know the details. Give them the details. If the parents want to call us, we can tell them what we can tell them. But again, just keeping that chain going of, well, they did this, so it means this, and then it spins out of control. And so, yeah, we regularly tell kids, I even tell staff, hey, we've got a discipline situation going on with a kid, it's getting resolved. In the meantime, yeah, questions go to administration, but don't speculate.
Right.
Well, and one other thing that we tell the kids is, you know, during any disciplinary incident, the admin, the teachers, they're not going to be talking about it. So when details come out, it's generally from the kids or their parents. Mm-hmm. And so when someone has a disciplinary issue that, you know, they're embarrassed of or ashamed of, we do tell them, it's like, any information about this is going to be coming from you. So you need to not talk about it if you don't want it to get out. Because again, Florence is a small town and everybody assumes that they know a little bit more than they do, and unfortunately have no problem spreading that.
Well, and again, I think probably all of us have played the game where I whisper in Andy's ear something,
yes,
and you pass it on down. And after about 10 people, it's not the same story that I told in the first place.
Well, and that absolutely happened this time. And, you know, when I provided all the information to Andy and Andy shared the information, again, I'm really proud of how we handled this situation. We ensured that students were safe. I mean, we were dealing with three different organizations. We had the school district, we had Florence Police Department, and we had Lane County Sheriff's Office. And within minutes, all three of those people were notified. We ensured student safety. And everywhere along the line throughout last week, that was our main goal. So again, communication, I think that's one of the things that people are frustrated about, but at no time was student safety in question because we were ensuring that. And so unfortunately, communication didn't happen the way people wanted it to, but that's because there were student safety concerns that were taking priority. And, you know, in some of our jobs, I might have 100 things on my to-do list and I'm trying to prioritize them at all times, and student safety is always my number one priority.
And I think the follow-up to this is that you sent out the memo yesterday to the parents of the kids that were on the bus with the correct information. Those are the people that were either
directly
impacted
affected
or inconvenienced by the delay of the bus. They now have the information they need that can be legally shared. And it took a week to get down to all the details. And there's still a few pieces that we're going to wrap up today and tomorrow. but they're not directly relevant to student safety. There are some procedural pieces.
Well, and again, it's dealing with the what is, not the what ifs.
Right.
You know, I mean, because like you said, you know, well, that could have been disastrous, but it wasn't.
Right.
You know, that could have been, you know, a wreck, but it wasn't. So people looking at the positive aspect of it, of, you know, hey, everyone got out safe. Right. I mean, that's the assumption there. And when the information was available, it got out. And I know, I understand the frustration of parents. Having been one, having been a kid who caused my parents much frustration myself, you know, they would like to know because, well, for one thing, it's the human curiosity, too. It's not just being a parent. It's like, you know, oh, I want to know what's going on. Being in news, I always want to know what's going on. I often realize that I can't always know everything that's going on. So, all right. Is there anything else that we need to hit on not just this point, but general information that can be doled out or not doled out? When it comes to a threat of violence, obviously the police are called in, right?
Right.
So that's something that's done there. But there's other disciplinary actions that may be handled by staff that are not necessarily violence related.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. As you know, you look at what a student says, and then you look at it, is it a direct threat to them? Is it a direct threat to someone else? Or is it so vague that there's nothing credible to it on the surface? But you still go in and you get all the details because, again, it's that hyperbolic statement a kid makes and somebody overhears it, they repeat it, and then, oh, there's concern. But in the meantime, we're running down to see, did they really mean it and do they have the capacity to act on it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say every time that we've run these down, we don't have, you know, we don't have these kids that have the capacity, or it was like, they'll say, I was mad. I was just blowing off steam and I said it and I didn't mean it. You know, and, you know, I've been here since the dawn of dirt. But yeah, I mean, in the past we've had kids that have been a legitimate threat to themselves and others, but those are so rare.
Mm-hmm.
But because rare things in the past have been overlooked in other districts and out of state, we've run down the details on everything. And I just kind of think about after the big shooting in Florida a couple years ago, I think people's internal fears got the best of them. And we had, you know, five or six kids where people said, ooh, well, they fit this profile. They said this. Then you get into it and you get down the details. It's like, they don't meet this criteria that you had in your head. Kid went and said something stupid, or you interpreted something from that. But we still ran through the process. And, you know, some kids spend a day or two out of school and they go, oh, no, I could actually see why you wanted to talk to me, why you wanted to go through and do this, because in the context of what was happening, it's, you know, it really caused some people some alarm.
Well, and we never want to ignore something like that and then something horrible ends up happening. So we treat every single thing like that seriously. And, you know, it's reported and it's investigated and we put safety plans in place if needed. And, you know, I mean, we never want that to happen in Florence.
And so many times you hear on the news when something like that happens, you go, oh, well, not in our little town, you know.
Right.
And you just have to be on top of it.
It's your little town. It's your big town. Yeah. But again, if you bring the information to the right person that can do something with it, we're going to track down the details to make sure there isn't anything legitimate behind it. And you may bring me something, but I can't not necessarily tell you the resolution to it.
Right.
But if somebody else was, again, you tell me student A threatened student B, and I can confirm that student A did do that and has the capacity to cause harm to student B, I'm going to call student B and their parents and let them know student A is a threat and we're dealing with it. Because they may also have some legal recourse outside of the school.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for being here. I hope we get the information out on, you know, how things kind of roll. You know, we can't talk about everything, but we talk about things we can.
You bet. I'd like to just add that, you know, this is the community school, and we welcome the community's involvement in all aspects of the school. I encourage parents and citizens to read through the policies. They're online and available at the CISL School District. We have a policy committee that's made up of board members and community members and students that help set all of the policies that we're talking about, as well as the federal policies that come down from above. And again, get involved because we could use your help.
Guy Rosenbaum, Kerry Tatum, Andy Griskowiak, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next on the November edition of Our Town, he was a naval officer. Now he's cycling across America on about a 5,500-mile journey. Bring awareness to the plights of the first responders, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll be speaking with Mark Gutierrez right after this.